of World War III, we're going to learn what the world will be like after one-third of mankind, 2.2 billion people, are killed. We're also going to discover what happens to the United States and the nation of Israel after this war. We also will learn who the key participants in the government of the Antichrist will be. So this is going to be an incredibly important lesson. Now, in order for us to follow along, let's review quickly what we learned in the last segment about the order of end time events. We're going to go through this real quickly here. We know the sixth trumpet war is coming. About that time, an international peace for the Middle East will be confirmed. The temple, the Jewish temple, will be built on the Temple Mount beside the Dome of the Rock. The Temple Mount will be shared. Sacrifices in this new Jewish temple will be instituted. Then the sacrifices will be stopped by the Antichrist. He will then stand on the Temple Mount saying, "I am the ultimate authority here." The Bible even says he'll exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worship. And that will be what's called the abomination of desolation. The Bible also says that's the revelation of the Antichrist. That's the way that the people who understand the prophecies will know for sure who he is. That also begins the final 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation. Now, it's during this final 3.5 years that the mark of the beast will be instituted. This is going to be a mark or a number that every person will be forced to take, or else they will not be allowed to buy or sell, which probably means they won't be allowed to have a job. They won't be able to participate in the economy, and they'll have to pledge their allegiance to this one world government and the leader of the one world government, the Antichrist, in order to get their mark or number. So this is going to be the ultimate control mechanism. At the end of the 3.5 years, the world governmental system will try to invade the nation of Israel, triggering the battle of Armageddon. Of course, it's at Armageddon that Jesus Christ returns to the earth, fights against the world government armies, puts them down, and establishes his kingdom, a kingdom that will never pass away, never be destroyed. Now, I want to talk about something that is very important. We want to know whether World War III will happen before the peace agreement in the Middle East or after. We know that the Bible gives us a prophecy with a date on it. And this prophecy is that there will be the confirmation of the Abrahamic covenant, that there will be a peace agreement between the international community and Israel, probably participated in by the Palestinians, and that when this is concluded, it will place the Temple Mount under a sharing arrangement, placing it under international control. When that agreement is concluded, the Bible says there's 7 years left to the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the big question is, so will this war that kills one-third of mankind, World War III I'm talking about right now, will this war happen before the peace agreement or after the peace agreement? Now, I think the war is going to happen before, because it's hard for me to imagine that we're seeing 2.2 billion people slaughtered at the same time there's a peace agreement and they're building their third temple in Israel. So I suspect that this war is going to happen just before all that occurs. And then in the wake of that war, there's going to be such an incredible cry. Can you imagine 2.2 billion people dead, and there's such an incredible cry for peace on earth that then the Middle East peace will be ushered right in. I can see already the leaders of the world say, "I don't care what any of you say, we've had enough of this nonsense. We're going to destroy everything on earth if we ever do this again, and we're going to make peace whether you like it or whether you don't." And all of a sudden, the Antichrist, he comes to power on this entrance ramp of 2.2 billion dead. He's a man with answers. He takes the bull by the horns, and most of the world is going to think it's a wonderful thing. Let's talk about for a moment, what's going to start this war? Could it be another terror attack on the U.S.? Maybe that will start the war. We know there are rumors right now that Israel may attack Iran. Iran is moving to develop nuclear technology. Israel knows that one bomb on the nation of Israel will destroy the nation. And the president of Iran has been repeatedly saying that Israel's going to be wiped off the map. And so Israel's thinking, should we attack, should we not? And there have been some people that have said the United States should do it for Israel. The international community seems to be unable, impotent to do anything about it. There's actually a quote that was carried in the Jerusalem Post back in August the 30th of 2008. And this was a statement by the deputy chief of staff of Iran. He said, should Israel or the United States attack Iran, it would be the start of another world war. So maybe that will be the start. We do not know today exactly what will trigger the beginning of World War III, but it's coming. Now, there are some people, I'm talking about noted historians, that say we're already in this war. Mr. James Woolsey, the director of the CIA under the President Clinton administration, he said he believed that World War III began on 9/11 with the attack on the Twin Towers. Now, Thomas Friedman, the famous columnist for the New York Times, he believes the same thing. Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, he says World War III began on 9/11, and they're just not telling our world what's really going on right now because that launched the war on terrorism. Well, where's that stop? We're finding out that the more we fight terrorism, the more terrorism we have. And, you know, President Bush said it might be a 30-year war. It's like they know what they're doing. And finally, President Bush himself said on May the 6th of 2006, the revolt on Flight 93 by the passengers was the first counterattack to World War III. So even President George W. Bush stated that World War III actually did begin on 9/11. Now, the conflict that's going to be triggered whenever this happens, we know it will engulf the whole world. You have to. You don't kill 2.2 billion human beings without a world war, and it will be nuclear. The only way you can kill that many people, the nuclear buttons are going to be pushed. The nuclear weapons are going to fly. But our next big question is, so how does the war end up? How long will it take? I don't know. Once nuclear weapons start flying, whole nations will be wiped out. I mean, I'm talking about the possibility of the nation of China being totally eradicated. After all, China's quite a threat to the United States of America. Many people think that our star is in decline and the star of China is rising. Well, there are many people in America that don't want to listen to that. We don't like the idea of a Marxist dictatorship being the most powerful force on earth and reshaping the world in its image. So could we, under some kind of a provocation, start pushing those buttons and wipe out the entire nation of China? After all, we owe them, what, $1.7 trillion? They threatened to bankrupt us. But if we wipe the whole nation out, how much would we owe them? There's no one to owe. It all goes away. Now, should we think like that? Certainly not. It's horrific to think like that. But are there people in power capable of thinking that way? You better believe there are. I mean, go back. World War I, 8.2 million dead. World War II, 52 million. And the same evil lurks in the heart of men today. They think they're right. They think their cause is right. And do they have the ability to do it? Yes, they do. How do I know? Because the Bible says they're going to do it. I'm not telling you this is something that may happen. This is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. There is not any chance it's not going to happen because it's in your Bible. It's prophesied, and the prophecies always come to pass. You know, really, there's only one place of safety, and that's in Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit more later on, but you need to be thinking about that because where can you go to hide? We don't know the answer to that, but there is a place of safety. Okay, now what's the world going to look like the day after? I mean, here you've got one third of the world's population dead, gone. Many of them never to be seen again, vaporized by the intense heat of nuclear exchanges. Others dying a slow, agonizing death from nuclear radiation. The world Everything is upside down. Nobody knows where to turn. The structures of the world are shaken. And the United States will probably be regarded as a pariah nation because we'll probably be responsible for most of the fatalities. So what's the world going to look like? Well, believe it or not, there's a prophecy in the Bible that tells us. It's Revelation chapter number 13. And there we read about the one world government, and this passage is 3.5 years before Armageddon. So this passage is after this war. This war has got to be over, remember, before the Great Tribulation begins. And this, the Great Tribulation begins 3.5 years before Armageddon. This scripture is 3.5 years before Armageddon. Let's take a look at it. This is Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. It's a prophecy about the one world government of the Antichrist and about the Antichrist himself. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after this beast. The whole world is going to follow this beast. Now, what in the world is this? We've learned before now that a beast in Bible prophecy always represents a nation. Multiple heads on a beast represent the number of times that nation will rise and fall. Now, remember back in Daniel 7, if you've ever been back there for that lesson, there were 4 beasts. There was a lion representing Great Britain. There was a bear representing Russia. There was an eagle representing the United States. There was a leopard representing Germany, and there was a 10-horned beast representing the revived Holy Roman Empire, the countries of Europe. Now, they were 4 separate beasts back in Daniel 7. When we move from Daniel 7 to Revelation 13, look at the components here. You can see a picture of the beast here. Body of the leopard, feet of the bear, mouth of the lion, but all 7 heads are there because there was a total of 7 heads back in Daniel 7. So this prophecy that was given way back in 550 BC in the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation was written in about 95-96 AD. So 650 years later, we have the book of Revelation. That's a long time between writings, right? And yet the exact same symbols are used, only they're being used in a different way. Now, when you look at these symbols and the way they're being used, notice it has the body of the leopard, that's Germany, the feet of the bear is Russia, the mouth of the lion, Great Britain. So Great Britain, Germany, Russia, they're going to be integral parts of this one world governmental system. And then the 10-horned beast is there, the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. But remember those eagle's wings back there in Daniel 7? No eagle's wings here. What does that mean? Does that mean we've been wiped off the map? Or does that mean we've gone into isolation? What does it mean? There's no United States of America. You say, oh, that scares me. It shouldn't. That's good news. Because if you're included in this conglomerate beast, you're under the reign of the Antichrist. So what's the odds that maybe we've gone into solitary confinement? Maybe we've withdrawn. Maybe the prophecies of the Bible have gotten all the way to the White House. And maybe the rulers we have by then understand what the prophecies say and have decided to retreat from world affairs and perhaps will play a different role during this time. Could we be wiped out? Yes, we probably could. But there's some reasons to believe that we probably will not. Okay, so now let's ask a very important question. What will happen to the nation of Israel? We know that Israel is going to survive because she's going to build her third temple on the Temple Mount. And we also know that Israel, in the wake of this horrific war with 2.2 billion dead, Israel is going to resume animal sacrifices. That means there's somewhat of a religious revival taking place in the nation of Israel. Now, all these things have to be completed actually before the Antichrist assumes total global power. So in the wake of this war, Israel's experiencing, we've got to build our temple. There's got to be peace on earth. Israel believes the key to peace on earth is to rebuild the temple and for the Messiah to come back. So they're going to build their temple. We know it's going to be done before the final 3.5 years, before the Antichrist actually is recognized and assumes power. So we know that about the nation of Israel. The other thing we want to ask is, who will make up the 2.2 billion that will be killed? Could it be Islam? There's a pretty good chance it will be, because the Islamic world controls the Euphrates River, and that's where this war actually comes from. And furthermore, in the New World Order, there's going to be one world political system and one world religious system. Is Islam willing to compromise? Islam is a real strong religion. Would they be willing to go into a one world religious system? Maybe they will. I don't know. Because false religion, and Islam is a false religion, is always willing to compromise. They don't stick with the truth. They go with whatever is expedient and best for them. However, knowing Islam like I do, I have a feeling that Islam is never going to be willing to totally blend in. So it could be that Islam's been pretty well wiped out. We got 2.2 billion people here. Now, what about China? Well, China is not depicted in the prophecies of the Bible. The dragon in Revelation 13 is very specifically referring to Satan himself as giving power to this one world governmental system. What about Revelation 16? A lot of people think the kings of the east in the Armageddon prophecy, when the Euphrates River dries up and the kings of the east come down to make war against Israel, that maybe that's China. But that's not referring to China, because those kings are specifically named over in Ezekiel chapter 38, that they're going to come from the east across the Euphrates River, and it names them. It names Meshach, which is the original word for Moscow. It's Russia. It names Iran, Persia, Libya, Ethiopia. So this is a coalition of nations under a UN flag that's going to come down against Israel. It's not referring to China. So what's the chances that China could be wiped out? I think they're relatively high, because you got 1.3 billion. Even if China's wiped out, you've still got another 900 million that have to die in order for one-third of the world's population to be wiped out. Now, what else is going to happen after this war? We know that the center for world power is going to swing to Europe, because we saw the beast. It's got the body of the leopard, Germany, the feet of the bear, Russia, the mouth of the lion, Great Britain. It's got the ten-horned kingdom, which is made up of Europe, the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. So the center of world power is going to swing to the European Union and the Euro. And furthermore, this peace agreement will then quickly be made. And so the world's going to think, oh, finally, peace. With this horrible catastrophe, there's going to be an upswing of religious fervor. The Bible teaches that a very strong religious leader will arise, and he will make coalition with the Antichrist himself. The Bible calls this religious leader the false prophet. And he will lead most of Christianity. The Bible is very clear that apostate Christianity, I'm talking about Christians who say, well, doctrine doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't really matter what you believe. And so it's going to be easy for them to rejoin themselves with Roman Catholicism. Most of Christianity will become one again. And they're going to follow the leadership of Roman Catholicism into this agreement with the one world leader of the world, the Antichrist. And there will be a world religion, there will be a world political system working together. And most likely, Islam is either going to compromise itself and join this, or else Islam is going to be destroyed during this war. Now, we also know that this war undoubtedly is going to serve as the entrance ramp for the Antichrist to come to power. Politics and religion will form this alliance. It's very clearly depicted in Revelation chapter number 13. The Roman Catholic Church will be the strongest religion on earth, but the Protestants are going to cooperate with her. They're all going to be moving back to this religion of convenience, and religious zeal is going to be blamed for this war. And anyone who's not a member of a mainstream religion well, they will be outlawed as religious terrorists or religious extremists. The Bible says they will be persecuted for his name's sake. The people who say, no, you must be a Christian in order to be saved, you're going to become part of the avoided, persecuted group, even though the Bible teaches that. Jesus said, except you believe I'm the Messiah, you'll die in your sins. And yet the Bible states that if we are not willing to compromise and say, look, all religions are okay, Muslims are okay, Jews are okay, Buddhist, everything is, if it's good for you, it's good for me. It's that kind of thinking. If you're unwilling to bow the knee to that, then you become part of the persecuted group, and religious inclusiveness will be mandated. They're already talking about it. Already, if you try to proselytize people in some of the European countries today, you can go to prison because they're saying we can no longer allow religious conflict. We must now have religious inclusiveness. And that's going to be the belief system of the one world government and the one world religion of the new world order. And the mark of the beast will be implemented. The mark of the beast will be forced upon the human race so that you will have to obey the edicts of the Antichrist. Now, what happens to America? We only see the eagle one other time in the scriptures. In Revelation 12, verse 13, the Bible says the Antichrist will make war against the woman Israel. She has 12 stars around her head. And when that happens, this is verse number 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. Where is Israel's place? It's the promised land. It's the land promised to Abraham. And we know Israel's going to stay there safely until the battle of Armageddon, because that's the reason the Antichrist invades Israel at Armageddon. It's because she's been there not under his power. Well, who is Israel's only friend? The eagle. We have used our veto power at the United Nations to protect Israel for the last 60 years so far. It appears that the reason the eagle's wings are not on the one world governmental system is because we backed off. Israel is not going to be invaded by the Antichrist. The United States, it looks like, if we're not wiped out, then it looks like we're not a key player in the one world governmental system. You say, well, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. It's wonderful. We should not want to be a part of this one world governmental system. Is it possible that America could be in opposition to the Antichrist? A lot of people say the whole world is going to follow the Antichrist, and that's true generally. But yet we have scriptures here in Daniel chapter 11 that explicitly say that there will be those who resist the Antichrist. In verse number 32, it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he, the Antichrist, corrupt by flatteries, but they that understand among the people shall instruct many. So right in the middle of this chaos, after the abomination of desolation, during the final 3.5 years, they that understand among the people are going to be in full evangelism mode. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. There are people who will die. There's always been people who will die. 11 of the first 12 apostles were killed for the name of Jesus because they wouldn't quit preaching. So, since America is not specifically included in the one world government, could it be? That the U.S. would become a center for world evangelism. Now, also in Daniel chapter number 11, verse 40, it says, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, the Antichrist, and the king of the north, who is the Antichrist, shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, probably the West Bank, Judea, which will be under the control of the Palestinians, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the chief of Ammon. Edom is southern Jordan, the Moab mountains are in central Jordan, and Ammon is Ammon, Jordan. So Jordan will never be occupied by the Antichrist. Israel will never be occupied by the Antichrist, or else the Antichrist would not have to invade Israel at Armageddon. Could America also escape? Don't know the answer to that. All we know is verse 44 of chapter 11 says, but tidings out of the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away. The Antichrist is going to have opposition on a national level during the final 3.5 years. I, for one, certainly hope it's the United States of America. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Okay, World War III. It's going to happen. 1/3 of mankind is going to die. So where is safety? There's only one place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. The Bible says, except a person is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Your only hope, my only hope, we have to know where we stand with Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to say to all of you out there today. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. Get in God's Word. Enroll in some Bible studies. Figure out what is going on. Go through Understanding the End Time Level 1. Learn the prophecies, because it's coming. One third of this world is getting ready to be wiped out. But it doesn't matter whether you are or not. If you're ready, you have eternal life one way or the other.